Welcome back to D&B College. In this lesson, we're building a trick-style bass line for beginner Ableton users, and the key idea is simple. Controlled menace. Not a giant, messy bass soloed in the editor, but a tight, rude, disciplined line that sits in the pocket with the drums and drives the drop forward. Trick-style bass lines work because they are surgical. They're usually built from short motifs, careful note placement, and small timbral shifts rather than huge sound design tricks. That makes them perfect for darker rollers, minimal D&B, and heavyweight club tracks where the bass needs to feel threatening, but still clean enough to mix. And that's the real goal here, weighty, readable, mono-safe, and ready to carry a proper 16 or 32 bar section. The first move is to build the rhythm before you worry about tone. Open Ableton and create a 2-bar MIDI clip on a new track. Start sketching a bass pattern with short notes, leaving clear space around the snare. If your snare is landing on 2 and 4, don't let long bass notes sit right on top of it unless you want a very specific ducking effect. A strong beginner starting point is a note on the end of 1, another short hit around beat 2, another on the end of 3, and then a small variation in bar 2. Keep the note lengths short. Think eighths and quarters, not long sustained notes. That's what gives the groove room to breathe. What to listen for here is whether the bass feels like it is pushing forward without smothering the snare. If the groove starts to blur, shorten the notes right away. In D&B, space is part of the weight. Now split the sound into 2 jobs, sub and mid. This makes the whole process easier and gives you much more control. Use 1 MIDI track for the sub and another for the mid bass, or an instrument rack if that's comfortable for you. For the sub, keep it simple. Operator or wavetable will do the job nicely. Use a sine or a very clean waveform, keep it mono, and make sure anything above the sub range is filtered out. The envelope should be short and clean so the notes stop properly. For the mid layer, use something a little rougher. A saw, square, or a rich wavetable works well. You want harmonics, because that's where the character lives. A good stock chain here is wavetable into saturator into EQ8 into auto filter. For the sub, a simple chain like operator, EQ8, and utility is enough. Why this works in D&B is because the low end stays stable while the character moves in the mids. A lot of beginner bass lines sound huge soloed, but they fall apart in the full drop, because the sub is too wild or the mid-range is too smeared. Separating the layers keeps the weight focused and the groove readable. On the mid layer, shape the sound so it feels rude, but not blurry. Start with a harmonically rich tone, then add saturator with a modest drive amount, maybe somewhere around 2 to 6 dB to begin with. Soft clip can help tighten the peaks. Don't overdo it. If it turns into fizzy noise, you've gone too far. Then use EQ8 to clean up the rough edges. If it feels boxy, cut some mud around 200 to 400 Hz. If it bites too much, tame the harsh band around 2.5 to 5 kHz. If you want a bit more bark, a gentle boost in the 700 Hz to 1.5 kHz area can help, but only if the sound still has body. After that, use auto filter to add movement. Keep it subtle. The goal is not wobble for the sake of wobble. The goal is articulation. What to listen for now is the attack and the tail. Where each note hits, does it speak clearly at the front and then fall away in a controlled way? That front edge is what makes the bass feel like it's talking to the drums. If the attack is weak, add a touch more saturation or shorten the note. If the tail is too fuzzy, reduce the detune or unison before you start carving with EQ. Once the tone is working, lock the sub and mid together rhythmically. Copy the MIDI so both layers trigger at exactly the same time. This is important. Even a tiny mismatch can make the bass feel soft or facey. You can make the sub note slightly shorter than the mid if needed, especially if the low end is lingering too long. A very common beginner mistake is letting the sub ring over the next hit. That makes the drop feel slower and weakens the kick. A useful way to think about it is this. Tight, percussive notes give you a rolling tracks feel, while slightly longer notes create heavier wall. Both are valid. Pick one direction and commit to it. If the drums are busy, keep the bass tighter. If the tune is sparse, you can let the bass breathe a little more and carry extra pressure. Now bring in a kick and snare loop as early as possible. Don't design in isolation. Put the bass against the drums and check whether it leaves the snare clear. Trick-style phrasing works best when the bass answers the drums instead of stepping on them. A really effective beginner approach is call and response. Let bar 1 state the idea, then make bar 2 answer with a small change. That could be a different ending note, a tiny rhythmic shift, or one extra pickup. This is where the bass line stops being a loop and starts becoming an actual drop idea. You can repeat the motif for bars 1 to 4, then add a small variation in bar 4. In bars 5 to 8, Maybe add a lower note or a different pickup. In bars 9 to 16, push it a little further with slightly more saturation or a small filter opening. Keep the changes restrained. In DNB, small changes can feel huge when they land in the right place. What to listen for here is the snare. The snare should still feel like the anchor of the bar. If the bass makes the snare feel smaller, don't just turn the bass down. Try removing one note or shortening the sustain. Usually that fixes the pocket faster than volume changes alone. A big part of this style is movement, but movement with restraint. Use automation rather than adding more layers. A small filter opening over 8 or 16 bars can create a feeling of pressure building. A little more drive on the saturator in the second half of a phrase can make the bass feel like it's leaning forward. You can also move wave-eatable position, oscillator blend, or even automate one answer note slightly louder. Keep these moves small and intentional. This is why it works in DNB. The arrangement already moves quickly, so the bass doesn't need to shout. It just needs to evolve enough that the ear stays engaged. A subtle tonal shift at the right moment often feels more powerful than a giant LFO effect. At this point, check mono compatibility. This is non-negotiable. Keep the sub fully mono using utility, and make sure the mid layer isn't spreading into the low end. As a general rule, below about 120 Hz, stay mono. If you have any stereo widening, keep it away from the low frequencies. A Trek-style bass line often sounds wide enough because the mid harmonics are active, not because the low end is actually wide. If it sounds huge in stereo but collapses in mono, stop and fix that now. That means the bass is lying to you. A club system will reveal it immediately. The real power comes from a stable center and a disciplined midrange. Once the phrase feels strong, commit the mid-bass to audio. This is a really useful habit. Printing audio stops endless synth tweaking and lets you start arranging like a proper track. It also gives you room to make small edits that improve feel faster than MIDI edits sometimes can. You can trim a tail, reverse a tiny hit into the next note, clip the edge of a transient, or resample a variation for the second half of the drop. A good workflow tip is to label your printed files clearly, like bass mid print 1 or bass var A. That might sound simple, but it saves a lot of time when you come back later and want to build the second drop quickly. A clean session is a faster session. Now build one clear variation for the second half of the drop. Don't let the bass line loop unchanged for 64 bars. A Trek-style line stays effective because it evolves in a controlled way. You might add one higher note at the end of bar 4 or 8, shift one note earlier by a 16th, open the filter a little more, or swap one repeated note for a lower octave hit. A very solid beginner structure is this. Bars 1 to 8, the original motif. Bars 9 to 16, the same idea but with one extra answer note and a little more saturation. Then if you're going into a second drop, you can make the mid layer rougher or cut one bar slightly, so the snare fill lands harder. That keeps the identity intact while still making the track feel like it's going somewhere. A useful pro tip here is to think of the bass line like a drum part with tone. That mental shift helps a lot. If the pattern feels too musical before it feels groovy, strip it back. Indeed NB, a bass line that is easy to count often mixes better and survives arrangement changes better too. If the groove is right, the sound can be simple. Another important habit is to audition the bass at low monitoring volume. If you can still understand the rhythm quietly, the pattern is probably strong. If it only works when it's loud, you're leaning too hard on tone and not enough on placement. Before you call it done, balance the bass with the kick and snare. Bring everything in together and listen to the groove as a whole. Use EQ8 if you need to carve space around the kick's fundamental or clean up mud around 150 to 300 Hz. If the top end is getting harsh and fighting the hats, tame it a little. The bass should make the drums feel faster and more dangerous, not sluggish and crowded. What to listen for in the final check is two things. First, can you still hear the snare clearly every time? Second, does the low end stay stable when the full drop plays? If either answer is no, simplify before you add more layers. In this style, less but better placed usually wins. And that's the core of it. Trek-style bass lines are about disciplined aggression, tight rhythm, controlled sub, dark movement in the mids, and enough space for the snare to hit properly. Build the groove first. Keep the low end mono. Use small automation moves instead of overcomplicating the sound. If you do that, you'll get something that feels rude, focused, and properly DNB. For your practice, try building a two-bar motif against a simple drum loop. Use one sub-layer and one mid-layer, keep the sub-mono, leave one rest before the snare in each bar, and make one variation in bar 2. If you've got more time, Stretch it into a 16-bar drop and give bars 9 to 16 a clear revolution. Keep it simple, keep it heavy, and trust the pocket. That's the lesson. Make it lean, make it mean, and make it sit with the drums like it belongs there. Now go build your loop, print the good bits, and see how much weight you can get from just a few well-placed notes.